This is the Hoosier Ag Today morning podcast. It's Friday, January 31st, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank, the Hat Podcast brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. They're online at ffbt.com. Coming up on the news today, Eric Pfeiffer and C.J. Miller, stories including Farm Credit Mid-America's views on the challenges of getting a new farm bill, and RFK Jr. talks America's food system during his confirmation hearing. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says expect lingering rain today, and then drier conditions move in for the weekend. And the corn and bean markets lower yesterday. We'll have settlements and market analysis with Mike Silver coming up on the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
Attention farmers, a big part of the Keystone Cooperative Advantage is reinvesting in the business to better serve farmer members. To support this effort, they're partnering with Purple Wave Auction to sell over 150 pieces of quality equipment this January and February, including over 70 sprayers and spreaders with brands ranging from Case to John Deere and Rogator. And there's so much more selling in these auctions. Get registered today at purplewave.com.
The prospects of passing a new farm bill this year, and Robert Kennedy Jr. had quite a bit to say about the ag industry during his first Senate confirmation hearing. I'm C.J. Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Since Republicans are now in control of the House, the Senate, and the White House, you'd think that getting a new farm bill across the finish line this year should be a breeze, right? Well, as Eric Pfeiffer reports, that might not be the case.
Joe Dagger, head of public affairs for Farm Credit Mid-America, told a crowded room Wednesday night in Lafayette during an Ag Outlook seminar they hosted with Halderman Real Estate that bipartisan support is still needed.
And the challenge it's facing in 2025 is that there is a little bit of uncertainty as to how the budget reconciliation negotiations are going to impact the agriculture committees and what cuts they may have to make. And if those cuts are coming out of the farm bill, that's going to complicate how the farm bill process comes together.
Another complication facing farm bill passage.
Since the last farm bill was passed, nearly 60% of Congress has never voted on a farm bill. And that's an incredible amount of people when you think about the education and the breadth of a farm bill and ag policy. And there are very few opportunities for members of Congress to vote on agriculture policy outside of a farm bill. And so as a community, we're going to have to advocate for our causes and make sure folks understand the importance of what it means for rural America, for agriculture, and also for those who rely on the nutrition program.
317 members of Congress have not voted previously on a farm bill. Dagger says the House will likely act first on a new farm bill, but it's not going to be as simple as just reintroducing last year's proposals.
Because of this budget reconciliation legislation that's going to potentially instruct the House and Senate Agriculture Committees to trim some programs down, which will potentially complicate the negotiations. So it's in flux in terms of when it's going to happen, but both have goals to meet in the first half of the year.
Farm Credit Mid-America will be in Louisville at the National Farm Machinery Show February 12th through the 15th. In booth 5207 in the East Hall. Be sure to stop by for more information. I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
One of the greatest advantages of working with your local farmer-owned cooperative is sharing in its success. Keystone Cooperative is thrilled to announce over $68 million in patronage, all being paid back to our farmer owners after a historic 2024. That's 57% of our profits going directly to the farmers who own us. Unlike private or publicly owned companies, Keystone reinvests in Main Street, not Wall Street. We're proud to return this $68 million to farmers across Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan. The Keystone Cooperative Advantage, centered on you.
Well, the ag industry was one of the hot topics discussed during Robert Kennedy Jr.'s first Senate confirmation hearing.
We need to fix our food supply.
And that was Kennedy speaking before the Senate Finance Committee on Wednesday. Kennedy, who is President Trump's nominee to lead the Department of Health and Human Services, said he is not the enemy of food producers.
American farms are the bedrock of our culture, of our politics, of our national security. I was a 4-H kid, and I spent my summer working on ranches. I went to work with our farmers. I want to work with our farmers and food producers to remove burdensome regulations and unleash American ingenuity. MAHA simply cannot succeed without a partnership, a full partnership of American farmers.
But when questioned by Senator Roger Marshall of Kansas, Kennedy pointed the finger at the broad range of crop protection products that are currently being used.
We're also destroying our soil because some of the chemicals that farmers use destroy the microbiome, and that causes the erosion of the soil. You can't get water infiltration. Agronomists now estimate that we only have, if we continue doing these processes, only 60 harvests left before our soil is gone. So farmers are using seeds and chemicals that are, over the long term, are costing them and us.
Kennedy also says he wants to fast-track additional incentives to farmers to steer away from the use of chemicals as crop protection products.
We offer and incentivize transitions to regenerative agriculture, to no-till agriculture, and to less chemically intensive. And by the way, I've also met with the chemical industry and the fertilizer and herbicide companies, and they want to do the same thing. Oh, and I think we're on the trajectory to do that, and we need to incentivize initiatives to accelerate that trajectory.
Read more about Kennedy's confirmation hearing before the Senate Finance Committee at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm C.J. Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Calling all organic grain farmers. Make plans to attend the Indiana Organic Grain Farmer Meeting February 19th at the Beck Ag Center in West Lafayette. Hear from keynote speaker Dave Campbell of Lily Lake Organic Farm and connect with experts on insect ecology, organic markets, and biological amendments. Register online by searching Indiana Organic Grain Farmer Meeting or call Ashley Adair 765-496-6362. This message brought to you by Purdue Extension and the Indiana Organic Network.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Keep the umbrella handy here as we finish out the day today. We're still dealing with some moisture that's born out of the system that started overnight last night. I think in southern Indiana, the biggest rains are done, probably just some spits and sprinkles through the rest of today. But we've got a long tail secondary event going on in northern Indiana that likely stretches into late this afternoon and evening. Could see another tenth to half an inch up there before all is said and done. So moisture around, it's a drippy Friday, no big deal. We dry down everywhere for tomorrow. A little bit cooler, but getting sunshine back. Clouds giving way to sunshine. Sunday is mild with southwest flow dominating again. Next week, Monday through Wednesday, I'm going to call things seasonal. Honestly, we could be warmer one day, cooler the next. Warm air and cold air are stratified across the nation, north to south. But finally, Wednesday night into Thursday, we start to see some significant southwest flow, which raises our temperatures in a big way. And that leads to precipitation for Thursday into early Friday. Rain and even a few thunderstorms. I'm going to say anywhere from a quarter to 1.5 inches of rain coming out of that. It's done by Friday midday, early afternoon, and we go into a cooler period to finish out the week and weekend. That cool air wants to settle here through the entirety of next week as well. So cold Canadian high pressure is here. Not brutally cold, but definitely pulling back from these mild temperatures just a little bit. Again, call it seasonal for the most part. It's going to be early February. We're not supposed to be super warm. However, as we get closer to Valentine's Day, I am seeing a big surge of warm air coming up over the southwestern U.S., and that's going to try and push in here. That upper-level ridge will try and take over for the rest of the month. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. Have a great weekend. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Sell-off in corn and beans. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Thursday Farm Market Review. We'll review the final settlements coming up, but first, market commentary. And I grab that late-in trade from Mike Silver of Kokomo Grain. Lower corn and soybeans after a couple of days of those markets moving higher. Wheat did post yet another higher session. But let's talk about corn and beans, Mike.
the weak side leader, soybean futures, and certainly one contributor was weak soybean meal.
Weak meal price going into the close. Looks like we're going to close down about $4.60 a ton here in the soybean meal market. So that's been the weak sister in the soybean complex. Actually, the soybean futures market, March soybeans, looks like we're going to go, we're down right now about 16 cents. The November contract, we're down about 9 cents. In the corn futures market, we're up six, excuse me, we're actually down 6.25 cents at 490 in the March, and down 2.25 at 464.5 in the December contract. Export sales this morning for corn were decent, 1.358 million metric tons. That was down from last week's 1.661 million metric tons. It was at the high end of the expectations. The soybean export sales were mediocre. They came in at 438,000 metric tons. Last week, they were 1.491 million metric tons. So really not too much help there to the soybean market from the export sales this morning. If we look at the progress against the USDA export sales estimates, our corn exports are actually 9% ahead of the pace needed to meet the USDA estimate, and our soybeans actually are 5% ahead of the pace that we need to meet the estimate. The our wheat sales overall, nothing stellar, and our wheat export sales this week actually came in at the higher end of expectations, 456,000 metric tons versus our 164,000 last week. But still, it looks like we're pretty much on pace to meet our export projections with our U.S. wheat program for this marketing year. You know, there was not a lot of fresh fundamental news in the market today, Andy, albeit, you know, we've talked over the years about there are so many factors that affect the daily price action in our futures market, not the least of which is the commodity fund activity. And we've talked time and time again over the years about when funds are buying, commodity funds are buying in the futures market, we see an uptick in prices. And certainly we've seen that since the surprise that we had in the January final crop production report for the crop we harvested last fall. And of course, you know, if we look to the southern hemisphere, Brazil and Argentine weather is very much in play at this time of the year, and will continue to be. You know, it's the equivalent of summertime in Brazil and Argentina, and we know, you know, what kind of impact summer weather forecasts and actual hit-the-ground events have here in the States on our futures action, and that is taking place right now in the southern hemisphere. Now, I do want to say here that since the January report, the surprise report, we have seen good farmers selling in both corn and soybeans. Farmers have availed themselves of the opportunity to sell at some prices that last fall they did not have much hope that they were going to see. So in the past several weeks, and this has continued here as we approach now the first trading days in February, that even with today's sell-off, we are still seeing our open offer deck is growing and folks are getting orders filled, as I said before, at prices they had not expected. So we encourage folks to avail themselves of the opportunities here that we have. And I'll speak specifically about March corn futures. You know, we're trading, looks like we're going to go into the close here about 490. We had a high price yesterday, 497 the March. We priced some DP yesterday, quite a bit of DP. We priced basis contracts yesterday. And with DEES trading right now at 464 December futures, and we were at 466 yesterday, we've actually had folks put in offers and have had some new crop corn offers filled too, as well as folks have availed themselves of the opportunities to sell some old crop soybeans with basis levels here domestically at really good levels. They're cleaning up on their old crop sales and they're adding to their new crop sales. Andy, tomorrow obviously is the last trading day of the month, so we'll see how this all shakes out. Money flow was the primary feature of the market today. Commodity funds, looks like they're going to be sellers today overall of some contracts, but their record long positions have certainly helped support this market. And certainly from a technical standpoint, it looks like we should have some more upside opportunity in this market in the days and weeks ahead, Andy. So we encourage folks to take a good hard look at their old crop positions, their new crop positions, and if they need to make additional old crop and new crop sales, get some orders in the marketplace and see if we can get those orders filled.
Commentary from Mike Silver of Kokomo Grain. Mike's number, 800-666-0613. On the Hat Thursday Market Review, corn and beans down. March corn down 6 3/4, 490 1/4. May 501 1/2 down 6, 4 3/4 off on July, 504 1/4. A 16.5 cent sell-off on March beans, 1044. May 1059 3/4, 15.5 lower. And July down 14 1/4, 1074 1/2. Up 3 cents, March wheat, 566 1/2. Meats were mixed. February live cattle, 204.47, down 255. And February lean hogs, up 47 cents, 84.37. I'm Andy Eubank with the Thursday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.